so much to crap in.
That's so crucial.
Watch what happens.
Watch what
happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crap in.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and beautiful Mr. Ronnie Karam, fresh from a private jet with Snoop Dogg. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
What's going on with you, baby?
Not much. Just, you know, riding the usual high that comes after watching another deranged episode of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. What's going on with you?
Same. Girl, same. I mean, pretty impressive that they can keep this up. I figured it would just start sucking, but it hasn't.
No. It's a good season. It's officially a good season. This episode had everything. It had a fight about a PJ with Snoop Dogg. It had gay rumors. It had crazy sunglasses. It's just really all I could ever want. So anyway, thanks everyone who came to Crappy Hour this week. It was super, super fun. That episode is now, the audio from the episode is now on our feed, except for the part where we called people to the stage. So if you want to be someone who participates in Crappy Hour, it's every other week on Mondays at 8:30 on the East Coast. So it will not be this coming week, but it'll be the week after that. Next week will be Dwell Hello. So it'll be super fun. So go check that out on our Instagram. You should follow us. Watch What Crappens at Instagram, at Ronnie Karam, at Ben Mandelker. Follow all three. Also, this is a video. It's on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, support on the Crappens on Demand level, and you get access to these videos. And then also a video that you definitely will want access to is the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills trailer. We are going to do a trailer breakdown this week on the bonus episode, and it's going to be video two. And what we like to do is we actually watch the video, and you guys can see us watching the video, and then we break it all down frame by frame, shot by shot. So come join us for that. It's always super fun when that happens. And we also have a Potomac trailer that's also coming down the pike. So, I mean, it's already arrived, but like a trailer breakdown. So lots of fun stuff. And now let's dive into Salt Lake City, Ronnie,
yes.
Shall we?
Here we go. Some Salt Lake City action. We don't know what's going on, but they like starting us with a lot of drama lately on this show, at least the drama Haas. So this one, yeah. We get a nice song. And it's Meredith and Seth having lunch. Yeah. And he's asking how the desert was, and she's like, I'm still kind of digesting that what went on.
And you're like, and Seth is like, no, really?
I can't believe they did this. He goes, oh, Nelly. Whoa, Nelly. And I was like, really? At the beginning of a gay outing episode? Whoa. Is this purposeful?
It was actually synergy, because Sheena yesterday posted a photo of herself with Nelly.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was a Sheena reference or if they were just trying to bookmark the show with Nelly's, or bookend the shows with Nelly's.
Maybe Nelly Furtado should join the cast of one of these shows. So Meredith is like, well, we get to Trixie Motel. Not only is Whitney already there with Angie, who was not invited at dinner, she just unleashes on
me. I love that Meredith is just going to stick with the dog references every time she talks about this chick.
I know. I feel like something that I've really learned over the past few years is like how we're not meant to be calling women dogs. That is like very, very, very like unhelpful, unhealthy, yada yada. But this show, they're like, no, we're gonna lean into.
I think if you're a woman, you're allowed. We're not allowed to.
Maybe
we haven't.
Maybe that's what it is.
You know, we've learned over time.
Yeah,
but yeah, I guess they're allowed to. Like a dog is allowed to call another dog a bitch. But we're not supposed to do it.
You know? Yeah, we're not like supposed to be like you yappy chihuahua, things like that, because it's like very offensive. But the show, they're like, sure, we'll lean
so,
in.
So then we get a clip again, because we're going to get this clip probably every episode from now on. We get another clip of
so good every single time. And then Meredith goes, I felt
overwhelmed by everything. So Lisa lost her ring in the bathroom at the airport.
It was 60K. It was 60 grand. 60K, my ring. 60K. I lost a 60K ring.
That's Lisa literally just walking through the restaurant while Seth
just
and Meredith.
Just in case I don't play a flashback during this part, I just wanted everyone to know I lost my ring and it was 60G. I earned it. Hey, by the way, this is my face.
Well, she and Monica had a little disagreement, and Angie's behavior was relentless. And they cut to, "You look like a trampoline with eyes."
They're like, "Listen, we cannot call other women dogs. However, trampolines."
Trampolines with eyes. That's never going to not make me laugh.
Inanimate like objects, sure.
So then we come back and Meredith's like, "There are all these rumors out there about Angie that I've heard." And Seth's like, "What the freak is the rumor with Angie K?"
And she goes, "Well, I just think it's somewhat ironic that this woman is trying to tear into me and then thinks that karma is not going to be served to her. It's kind of like when our little baby toddler Brooks has a tantrum and then still expects the airport to come into the hangar. Am I right?
You want me to go for the jugular and talk about my shot? You want me to go there with my husband and the woman?
You want to talk about husband?"
She says her husband, but the her is so small that every time it always sounds to me like, "You want to talk about husband? You want to know about husband?" And I don't know, that like really amuses me.
Every week, I also love this line.
"I'm on a mission to serve Lisa, and I love that for myself."
Okay, so here we are, Temple Square. And Lisa's going into the Mint Facial Bar. And she's meeting Meredith to get some face stuff done. This is terrifying. First of all, Lisa has not really had a good time with face shots on the show. So last week, we were not even really paying attention to the picture that was posted with our episode. It was Lisa in a makeup chair, and it was during the drag episode, and we didn't really pay attention. We were like, "Okay, fine, post it." And then later, I was like, "What?" Whenever there's a ton of comments on the Instagram on Watch What Crappens, I'm terrified. Or my personal one. If you see over 100 comments on something, you know you fucked up something. You know, like you said, something offensive. They're coming. You know, they're coming, Ronnie.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and people are like, How could you say anything about Lisa? And I was like, we didn't say anything about Lisa's face. Like, I didn't even notice. Okay. I'm an old person. I don't notice wrinkles except my own. That's not something I look to make fun of on people. But people got very offended that it was Lisa's picture posted with her sides of her hair up, and it shows that she has some wrinkles on her face. Is anybody surprised that anybody has wrinkles? These are shows about 50, 60 year old people. Why is anybody surprised? And why are you being mean about wrinkles on your face? A lot of you I see out there, you've got wrinkles too. And if you don't have wrinkles, it's because you're like me and you're scrubbing that shit off, or you're going to the Botox lady for it. I don't know. I don't get the shaming about wrinkles. Shame about something else, you know?
Yeah. Listen, it's not called a smooth face in time, okay?
Yeah, respect the wrinkles. Now, is that hypocritical because I am yelling about a thing that was posted on our very own Instagram? Yes, I am. But we really didn't notice it that way. And we did not mean to be like, "Oh my God, someone has wrinkles."
No, it was not. It was not.
But that said, poor Lisa just can't get away because the editors were shady to put that in there. I think probably because she yelled at everybody about my face. It's my face. So they put that in there. And this week they are doing a what do you even call these? Like blacklight scan. It looks like in military movies where they're like, "Are there terrorists in that building?" And then they put heat sensors on and they look through the heat sensors and they're like, "I see a terrorist." That is definitely the heat sensor of a terrorist. Like, it's a heat mark.
It was definitely like Zero Dark 30 on these ladies' faces. 50. They're like, "I think Osama bin Laden's in your cheek," you know? But it was. And also kind of like right here in Los Angeles, there are a lot of these posters going up for the new Exorcist movie. And all I'm saying is that these scans
I was like, is this just cross promotion for The Exorcist right now? What is happening here? So these ladies, they show up
what's under
and they're all nice.
Face. Who does that to themselves? Also, who does that on TV? I don't need to see that. God only knows what my face looks like. God only knows. You know that there's a Milton Berle under here. Everybody fucking knows it.
I don't think that Lisa and Meredith knew what they were getting into. You know, it's like half the places they go to are just like free, right? Like I can't only imagine how many mediocre meals they've all had. So remember that last season? It was 2 years ago, I think. Maybe it was last season where they like every restaurant they went to had the same chef. It was like Bona Fuccini or something like that. And there was the guy and like, oh, here you are. And then it was like siestas. And then he was like there with like a mustache on like, wait, that's the same chef. So, Lisa, yeah. So she's like, hi, how are you? And Meredith is like, hi, how are you? Cause she's like,
she's doing
that
very nice voice, right? And
it's good to see you. Actually, when Meredith's being nice, she doesn't move for her. She doesn't open her teeth. She's like, so, like normally people grit their teeth when they hate people, but she actually grits her teeth when she likes someone. She's like, it's so good to see you. So then she's like, well, I've been sleeping a lot. I was tired and I was so happy. I'm so happy that we're good. And it's Major, isn't it, Major? And they're like, yeah, I love that. And they hug.
So the facial lady comes over and she's like, hi, you ladies. If you ladies will follow me, I'll scan you ladies into our system and you ladies will get a you ladies treatment, you ladies plan, you ladies. It's like, I'm going to smack. If I was there, I would have thrown my purse at this lady's head for calling me you ladies over and over again. Is that supposed to be non-offensive? It's very offensive. Okay. Why don't you just sir me right
you
now?
You ladies. Sir,
do it.
So Meredith's like, oh my God, my spray tan is awful. Look at how blotchy it is. And then she says that she went to a place in Park City, and I don't think they even say its name, but Lisa's like, oh my God, I'm banned from them. Yeah, the girl wouldn't even let me tan because like I went in and they were like, because I was like, I have an event tomorrow and I was like, I need a tan. And they were like saying, well, we're closing in 30 minutes. And I was like, but let me tan. And they were like, no. And I was like, but let me tan. And they were like, no. And I was like, but let me tan. And they were like, no. And it like escalated. And then they like wouldn't even let me fucking tan.
That the lady at the tanning place escalated it. I was like, no, you escalated it by standing there and yelling at the lady that you were the one escalating it, ma'am. She's like,
the kitchen is closed. The chemical kitchen is closed.
You shouldn't come there half an hour before they close, ma'am. She's like, yeah. And then I got an email from Corpora that was like, we appreciate your 8 years of patronage, but we're canceling your membership. And John was like, oh my God, I have to cancel too now. That's hilarious. That is terrible. It's hilarious.
You were a horrific. It was hilarious. Also, by the way, John should have canceled a long time ago because like he could stand by a mountain on this show and he would disappear. Like, I don't see if he's ever had a fake tan. Does. I have not.
Yeah, he does. I think that he looks like an Usher painting normally, like before he met Lisa. Are those of pale people Usher paintings?
Usher?
Let me look up some Usher paintings.
Like Usher?
Usher paintings.
Gonna make love in the standing salon. You remind me of a Diet Coke that I once knew. Oh, MC Escher.
But you know what? It turns out there are a lot of paintings of Usher, just in case anybody, just in case anybody's wondering.
Super Bowl halftime performer, Usher.
Who am I trying to think of that has kind of...
Yeah. Think about Lisa Barlow in 2004 singing along to Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think Lisa is more of a... Bop, 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 yeah. Whoa. Now I'm looking at paintings of very pale people. Who am I thinking of that does kind of those...
super pale people. I would say every single painter from 1401 to 1873.
Okay, who painted George Washington? Because this is a pretty pale painting. He does have rosy cheeks.
George Washington was also Bond from Park City Ten.
George Washington tried to escalate it.
He got a letter from Corporate saying, I'm sorry. Thank you for starting this country, but unfortunately, we cannot continue your membership.
I got an email from corporate, and they were like, hey, if you want to talk to me, talk to the back of a dollar bill. I was like, okay, George Washington. So, yeah, she was kicked out.
I really want to know who the pale painter is you're thinking of. Is it like Ruben?
No, he painted big ladies, right? Big people. Was it big ladies or big?
Well, big ladies can be pale. But the defining factor was the paleness, not the.
I don't feel like the. Yeah, I feel like they were colorful paintings of big ladies, right? I don't think there were pale big ladies.
I feel like all the ladies in his paintings are like alabaster.
No, I have to look.
You know, because they're always sort of like flopping over on something. That's just like the way those paintings are, whether it's Ruben or not. Like, it could be anyone. It's like, oh, look, it's like a naked lady flopping over in nature. You know? Oh, was it Botticelli, Venus?
Venus? Wasn't he a sculptor?
Did you see my new shell?
His sculpture? God, what's wrong? I'm really stupid. Venus is like... He does have some pale people in his art. I will say that. Let me see.
Venus is like...
The other day... I went to the mall and I got myself a seashell because I just wanted to fit in. I bought it.
So, okay, let's go back to the show now. Who cares? So the lady's like, oh my God, I'm going to scan you in, my ladies. So then we hear the spray tan thing. And so this is when she's like, okay, you ladies, let's insert your faces into this machine now, you ladies. It's called the You Ladies Machine, you ladies. So they do it. And Meredith's pictures are like slight sun damage. I guess it, you know, it's like maybe like little splotches of terrorism. It's like terrorists maybe spread over a map, but they haven't learned that there's other terrorists in the area yet. And so they're just... Mm-hmm. I don't think you would even call them terrorists. I just think you would say, oh, it's like people in a park that haven't met each other yet. But then when it gets to Lisa's face, right. It's like, oh my God, someone put a flyer up saying you want to be a terrorist. And now they're all.
Right. Joel Edgerton is like definitely launching a secret mission to invade her forehead. Yeah,
and that's
moment.
Really scary what lurks under, because you would never be able to tell this just looking at Lisa, you know, but it does look like a horror movie where there's like the witch living underneath, and this is what she looks like. You know, when you pass the movie poster, they have those futuristic ones where you pass it and it's like a little girl, but then you pass it a little more and you look and it's like a skeleton face with scary eyes. It's like that.
Right. Yeah. It's also very similar to looking at Kyle Richards' Instagram. So, so then they're like,
we're like, hey, everybody, stop wrinkle shaming.
No, I'm just saying, it's like, Kyle Richards' Instagram sometimes can be very scary. That's all. I'm not saying that she looks like a little girl and sometimes a monster. I'm just saying she's scary as a force of nature.
So, okay. So he looks like a Day of the Dead skeleton is what I wrote in the blue. Not her stand, okay.
Avatar of the Dead.
It's like if Avatar was a horror movie. They're like, the dead avatars are coming back now to kill the living avatars.
So Lisa is like, this machine is just rude. But now Lisa has a new interview look. She has a new interview look. She basically has like an Erica Jane look, but like she's like the Lisa Barlow version of an Erica Jane look, because her hair is all of a sudden like very high, but like flowing down at the same time. So they start their facials, and Lisa's like, you know what's nuts, Meredith? Like, when I met you, Chloe wasn't even bat mitzvah yet. And like, Brooks was just starting high school. And it's like nuts that they're like out of the house now. Like, you guys are true empty nesters.
Yes, that's actually true. We adopted a dog named Dreyfus, and Joe Suzu comes over. And we've also been... contacted by CPS because they said, what are you doing? Have a toddler that's out of the house. It needs to be under adult supervision. It's really messed up.
The lady's like, you ladies, I think that an exfoliation might be beneficial to you ladies today. And Lisa's like, really? Do you have a blowtorch? Just take off my whole fucking face and replace it with a gordita shell. Like, I can't even believe you just showed me that in real life.
Anyway, Meredith, you know what's going to be so hard? It's like when Jack goes on a mission, because like he could be sent anywhere and we can't see him. And I'm like, oh my God, I cry every day. I cry every day into my extremely pale skin.
I really can't wait to find out where he gets sent to. It's probably going to be someplace fabulous. It's probably going to be like Nice or something. He's just going to become a cast member on Below Deck. It's like your mission is to go onto a super yacht and clean things.
He comes off, I mean, it's like, so, it's not cool to like make fun of the kids on the shows, I know, but he comes off kind of douchey. Like last year when he's like, I don't fudge college. Honestly, what did he say? Fudge college, honestly.
He said fudge college. Honestly,
I'm already rich because of my Fresh Wolf company. So then I was like, oh, I hope your mission, you get sent somewhere not fun at all. You know, I was going to name something, but I'm like, what if somebody lives there? Now they're going to be mad. So let's say
Moscow. I think Moscow is safe at the moment.
We're not banned in Moscow yet.
No, but meaning like, I think Putin's sort of like, I don't think anyone likes Putin.
Unless he's riding a bear shirtless.
What if he's sent on a mission to the Kremlin?
We've already discussed.
We've already discussed this, actually, very recently. So Meredith goes, well, it's hard to see them, you know, it's hard. But seeing them move forward as adults, or in the case of my children, little babies in an adult world, well, it's rewarding. I mean, when I saw a Boss Baby, I never really resonated with something. I mean, it was a baby that talked like an adult, but it was still a baby. I mean, it was really a wonderful cinematic experience, you know, and I just think I did something right.
Including wearing this denim jumpsuit a la Eileen from her season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Lisa, you're getting your face scrubbed, eh? And she's like, yeah, it feels so good. This is worth taking my makeup for, am I right? Are you crying?
No. No, it's me laughing.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So we get clips because she wants to talk about this girls' trip thing, and we get a clip of, this is my face! Ah! Okay, now you're crying in your clip, right?
Yeah, it was me crying in my clip. Ah! But this is me laughing about how funny that was.
Ah! I am never dressing up for a girls' trip ever again, but like I feel like things were like weren't even like resolved in like Palm Springs, and there's like so much weirdness. I mean, I'm specifically talking about my ring, like I never found it.
And she basically is like, hey, I'm gonna have an après no ski party to get everyone together, and there's like not even a reason, like they're like the tenuous reason of we were fighting, so let's have a party to not fight.
But it's a Vita. It's a Vita party, right? It's like some kind of new Vita thing. Like,
yeah,
Apre Vita.
Oh, is this to launch the whiskey? Vita. Is there Vita whiskey at this party?
Something Vita. It was like Apre Vita, and I was like, that means after Vita, doesn't it? It means like after Vita. So that would mean afterlife, which would make sense with the scans they just took, actually, in this beauty shop. So anyone, the lady's like, okay, you're both still horrifying. You can leave now, you ladies. Okay, so then we go to Monica. First Lisa's like, you know what? I'm going to invite Monica because it's just like easier to invite her than not to invite her. And you know what? I'm like irritated with her, but I'm just going to say I'm having a party. And you know what? I'm going to wear labels from head to toe just to see if I can get a reaction from her.
Oh, my God. Please stop crying, Lisa.
And now I'm still laughing. This is my LOL.
Yeah, because she's like, I just want, like, I'm going to wear, like, labels, and I'll be like, you're the one who's triggered. Ah! And Meredith is, I mean the two of you. So now we go to Monica arriving at 8 Settlers
is
Distillery,
here
which got me excited.
On someone walking to Utah 100 years ago. Like, is there literally a name that doesn't have to do with that of any place in this town?
I was hoping that this distillery had something to do with having 8 copies of Settlers Catan, but maybe not. So Whitney joins Monica at a bar, and you know, Monica's saying the girls, like, her girls were good. She's like, talk about her daughters did really well while she was gone in Palm Springs. But she goes, but actually, we lost our dog. And I was like, oh, that's tragic. Because I thought she meant, like, the dog died. And then she's like, yeah, he got out while we were gone. And Whitney's like, oh, no.
Yeah, but we found him.
Like, okay, well, that's, it was just, like, an emotional journey very quickly. Like,
yeah, our dog died of
sadness because he missed us, but he's okay. You're like, well,
this
Monica,
whole thing was crazy.
Don't leave it that makes it sound tragic.
Actually,
yeah,
I lost my dog because, like, girl, he got out while I was gone, and they didn't want to tell me while I was away. But, like, thank God for all those dog websites where you can post that he's missing. We found him yesterday.
It's like, your kids didn't tell you the dog was gone, and they didn't get him back until you came back. This poor dog. Who's taking care of this dog, okay? And I barely take care of my dog, okay? My dog's toys are like used water bottles, okay? But even I take better care of my dog than that. I mean, are you sure you just didn't want to pay somebody to house sit your dog and you just let it out and then posted it on Facebook? Because I think people do that in my neighborhood. I think they're like, you know what? I'm leaving town for a few days. I don't want to pay the $50 a day to somebody to take care of this dog. Just roam free, Fido. And then they come back and they're like, has anybody seen my dog?
It was probably a very it's amazing they found the dog because they probably were not allowed to yell out for the dog because they're probably like, Fido, Fido. And Nana's like,
not so loud, not so loud.
Yeah, I hope you guys are better with Nana than you were with the dog. What if Nana ever gets out? Are you still not going to call Monica on vacation? Call your mother when the dog's missing.
Nana's fine. She has that knife. She's going to be walking through the wilderness like,
you come at me. Quiet. Not so loud. Not so loud.
So, Whitney, we don't often talk about when they order on this show, but I really laughed watching Whitney trying to order a pear and burrata salad because she's like, I'm going to have a pear and burrata salad with chicken. Please, I'm like, spit it out. Just get a pear and burrata salad. That's all you have to say.
So they start talking, like, how are you and Lisa doing, Monica? And she's like,
she's having her fun little ski event, and I'm going to go. So, I mean, I think we're okay, right? If she invited me to her thing.
And Whitney goes,
so that's great. Because, like, maybe now you can, like, go clear the air if you want. She goes, do you think I need to clear the air? She goes, well, I'm giving you a fair warning. It took me 3 years to get back into her good graces.
And then Monica's like, well, I mean, girl, I'll just be like, you're materialistic fuddy duddy, but I love you. And Whitney's like, I wouldn't say it like that. And I have to be honest. I'm like, we have a lot in common. Like, I love your energy, your vibe. But the trip made me pause for a second. And Monica's like, what, girl? And she's like,
yeah, you know, you've got a good vibe. I've got a good vibe. We can both take those facial scan things and not look like the cover of Insidious. That's fine.
And Whitney's like, because there was like a little bit of a red flag for me. Because like you were going after Lisa and Angie. And like, I don't want to invest in someone that goes for their friends like that.
Literally Whitney who does it.
And is about to in this episode. My God. She is the worst.
Yeah. So Monica is from the Danielle from Summerhouse School of Friendship, where she goes, if your friend's acting like crazy, girl, like, you should call them out. Like, you're doing it to me right now. So, like, the same thing I did to Angie. And, like, I think Meredith handled it great. And I feel like Angie said some, like, really horrible things about her business. And, like, that's what set me off. Like, you know how hard it is. Like, you have a business. You have a business, right? Like, you have a quote-unquote business, at least.
Get another classic Angie line. What are you going to write a check for, Meredith? Your jewelry that's got cobwebs and dust and you haven't sold something since 2015?
So Whitney's like, so does Angie. Angie has business. Monica's like, girl, imagine like how she would feel if like someone just like all of a sudden said like some stuff about her business. Like,
but from my perspective, it looked like you went against your two friends and then you were sucking up to Meredith and Heather.
And Whitney's like coming and doing that like, I just said something really intense look that she does, where she's, her eyes are wide open, mm-hmm. but also squinting in a way. And like her top lip kind of shakes. Mm-hmm. And they're playing horror music, by the way. Like, look at Whitney standing up for someone. It's like,
yeah, it just seemed like a huge nine.
God, oh, Whitney, you almost did. Whitney, keep up the entity. Keep up the energy, Whitney. Just seemed like a huge flip.
Yeah. What they said.
So Monica's like, I stand by what I said. And Whitney goes,
I sense that you're getting defensive. Like, and I want you to explain yourself.
And she's like,
well, I feel like I am explaining myself, girl. But like, maybe you're like not used to dealing with someone like me. I'm sorry. What was that word? Dealing? What? Dealing? Oh, dealing. Yeah.
Wow. Is that, you're bilingual.
So Monica's basically like, I feel like Angie was out of line, and as her friend, you know, I told her like, and I had a conversation with her, and I told her this, and I said, Angie, I'm gonna call you out when I feel like you're digging yourself into a hole.
Thanks for hearing me out, because I was like, damn, this is how we're gonna do friendships now.
Okay, she didn't apologize, and she didn't say she was wrong. So why are you acting like you just made some kind of a point? And Monica's like,
Thank you for coming to me about it, though, because like, I feel like Meredith needed someone to like have her back in that moment.
And then it goes, dong, and Whitney just gets that mortified look on her face again. And she's like,
wait a minute. I'm trying to be your friend in this scene, but you just keep flopping to the wrong side. Okay, just be careful. Be careful with Meredith. Just be careful. Just be careful. Hey, just be careful.
Girl, just what are be you careful. Talking about?
Because here's the thing. Meredith pulled me over at the airport and was like, you should know, be warned. You should think. Someone should tell you. I forgot the rest, but it was bad. It was really, really bad. It was something about Angie.
Oh, but like, did she do it like in like a nice way, or was it like sort of like, hey girl, be careful, no, girl?
She put her really serious eye out like this.
She does a really good Meredith.
She does a pirate, like a pirate impersonation with her face, and I died laughing. It was so funny.
Me too, because that is what Meredith does. Like, I have got something to tell you, Arg. So Monica's like, oh my God. And Whitney's like,
this is what she always does. She's like, I have all the information. She does it to every single one of us. She'll do it to you too. And you know what? And I've learned that when she does it to me, I just repeat what she says and make it bigger and then get mad when I get in trouble for it. Damn it.
Whenever Meredith feels wronged, all of a sudden a rumor gets its wings.
And then we see Meredith clips, like classic Meredith clips.
Even today, one of my friends mentioned something about Jen, which is that she is red-flagged at Louis Vuitton in the system because she pays for bags and cash. So I don't know if that's true or that's false. But...
I don't know if you guys all know this, but Lisa Barlow has been having 45 different affairs around Salt Lake City, most of them with corporate executives at the Utah Jazz, but you didn't hear it from me.
So we cut back to Whitney, and Whitney's like, Whitney's trying to do one of her drag queen written lines. Let's see if she can pull it off. She's like,
why can't she just have a normal hobby, like go to yoga or like collect trinkets? Or like birdwatch.
So when you're like, I'm so sick of this bullshit, toxic behavior from Meredith. It has to stop. We can't live under this horrific reign anymore.
I say, Meredith Marks, take down this wall.
Whitney would ever know that.
You know? I have a cold war in my house every day because Justin hates turning the heat the temperature that I like to have. It's crazy. Sometimes Justin leaves the cheese outside of the fridge. I'm like, oh my God, we're about to have another cold war.
So Monica's like, well, I mean, we've all heard stuff about each other. And when he goes,
it doesn't make it true. Yeah. Even though I spent last season making a whole fight about Lisa Barlow giving blowjobs for tickets for a basketball game.
And Monica goes,
okay, well, sure then. So did you tell Angie that she said that? And she's like, no, I haven't seen Angie yet. And honestly, I do not want to get involved in the Meredith Angie thing. And that's why I'm telling you,
because you're going to take it and then you're going to get involved with it and I'm going to have clean hands. Did I just say all of that out loud?
Yeah. And she's like, are you scared of Meredith? She goes,
no, I'm not scared of Meredith at all. But when she comes to town, I make sure to close up all my shutters and hide into a closet.
I just don't like this repeated cycle that she gets on. And Monica's like, well, I think that Angie and Meredith have something deeper than any of us understand. And I think it's really going to blow up. And hold on. Wait a minute. Is that my dog outside the window? What is my dog doing here? Oh, God. My kids really need to learn to text me.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. Well, guess what? I forgot to hit live for the first 25 minutes of this podcast. So if you want to hear what we talked about, that's on the regular podcast. But we still have all of the big episode going forward. So apologies to everyone tuning in for Crappens on Demand for this. But we're going to now pick up where we left off in the podcast. We just had the scene where Whitney and Monica met to talk about Meredith. And so now we go to Whitney at home, which is one of our favorite scenes that we love to have. Whitney at home. And so she goes in and she has a cake that's like a Superman Clark Kent cake. So she walks in and Justin sees it and she's like,
congratulations, Justin Rose. Dad is going back to work.
He's like, don't drop it. And so, of course, we get like a flashback.
Like, she gets all offended that he would say that. And then we see the flashback of Whitney dropping a cake. So I also love a sign in a show. You know, I love when they put little hints in for us. And this whole episode, they started with Whoa, Nelly, and then they ended with a gay rumor about a husband. And then this one where Whitney's acting so mortified that anybody would step outside their marriage when, you know, I guess the word on the street is Whitney Rose and Justin could swing. They could. That's just a rumor that was out like season one, like a million years ago. I didn't say it. I just read it. Don't sue me. But anyway, it's kind of that. And then we open the Whitney scene with a gigantic pineapple on the table, like just right in the middle of the table. So thank you, editors. Thank you for that. I consider that.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah. So Justin's like telling the kids like, hey, so you guys ready for me to go back to work? The kids are like, yeah, because we're sick of like cleaning up random chocolate syrup around the house. What is that anyway? Where does
Mom
that come from?
Mom and Daddy need to have a sex life. It's our kink. Don't kink shame us. So Whitney's like, yeah, when Justin lost his job last year, he had a 1-year non-compete. That means he can't work.
That's actually not what that means,
Whitney. No. I was like, that's...
No, he means he can't try out for Utah Jazz, because he can't compete.
Yeah, he can't compete. He wouldn't even play Uno with me.
He was going to try out for Olympics, but he can't compete, so he missed his window.
She's like, Justin, how do you fell? And he's like, I don't know how I fell. And she's like, yeah, well, it's been 1 year, so now Justin can work again. No one's going to bother telling me what a non-compete clause means. But okay, let's just keep it going. So we need to figure out a different routine because Mom and Dad are working full-time now.
And Justin's like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to, you know, miss taking you guys to school. She goes, you're still going to be taken to school. He's like, well, okay, maybe taking them but not picking them up. The little boy's like, will you be there to pick me up, Mommy?
Who are you?
I'm your little boy.
Are you sure? Have you always been part of this show? Because I feel like this is the first time we've seen you, little boy.
This little boy has been recast. I think this is a different child. I get that people grow up and change looks and stuff, but this is a different little boy.
We've never seen this child before, ever. Whitney, you know... I think that Whitney should pick up the kids because she obviously is very concerned with safety, because I do believe that a carpool situation was the crux of her falling out with Mary in season two, because she didn't answer Mary's call because she was,
I was driving carpool and safety first.
So
I couldn't call you.
She's a very reliable carpool.
I was in a carpool.
Justin wasn't allowed to get in because he has a non-compete.
That means he can't drive for 1 year. Like, nope.
He can't compete with other drivers on the road.
Well, my thing is with running two businesses and then Justin's not going to be around. How are we going to manage it? Because, like, you go back to work and everything's on my head again. Cleaning, laundry, bird watching.
Leave it up to Whitney to put things on her head instead of her shoulders.
Everything's on my head again.
She just has the tasks stacked up on her head. Whoa.
I'm going to get neck problems. I've got so much on my head. Like, are you just expecting me to be able to take it all on? Because that's the kind of vibe. Like, you're going back to the male dominating role again.
She looks at him like, nailed ya. Just nailed ya on that one. Weren't you just complaining that Justin didn't patriarchy. Have a job and you're having to be the breadwinner? I mean, the guy, if you want the guy to work, I mean, what are you going to do? Do you want him to have a job or not? Get a fucking nanny for your children or somebody to take them to and from school. There are lots of two-income families in the world. It's okay, guys. Welcome to the modern fucking world.
Yeah, you can... I know. And so she goes... I mean, he goes, you knew I was going back to work. Remember when I was filling out job applications and having interviews? You knew this was happening. So I don't know where this breakdown is or why this is a surprise. And she's like,
but I just don't want us to go backwards. There's so much on my head. Bobby, Bobby is turning 13. And this is like the most critical age that our girl needs us the most. What I'm saying is, if our girl starts getting on drugs, it's your fault because you went back to work.
Yeah, I was just a 13-year-old girl without present parents, and that is my number one priority.
And she's talking about how, like, there were bad things in her childhood, and there was no one there to protect her from it, and she doesn't want to miss something huge. And she's like, our kids need us, and I also know you need your career, and I need my career, too.
So are Whitney's two businesses that she has? Whitney Rose, like, she has that, the skincare thing, the MLM, and then what's the other company?
I don't remember what the other company was. Changed it all to, like, follow non-MLM rules whenever she came out with this new Whitney Rose or Wild Rose or whatever. I don't know what her other one is. Did she start another one?
Because I think she says at some point that she has two businesses. Let's see.
Whitney...
Either way, Rose, I don't know.
Businesses. Let's see. Whitney Rose reveals her spiritual jewelry line. According to the business's website, the line is passionate of it.
My jewelry line is passionate about inspiring others to do the healing work it takes to find peace and .. Hold on. Let me open the Bravo website and then wait for 19 ads to play before I can read this article that is an ad for their own programs. Makes a lot of sense. Let me see.
I wonder if Whitney will be able to carve out the time in her busy making jewelry day to pick up her kids from school.
I had to stop the infinity symbol line to go pick up my kids, and now it's just a shape like a teardrop.
So
it's just a hole.
Now we're going over. I mean. I just love that Justin's going back into corporate America and she has her sort of like vanity jewelry line. And she's like,
I don't know if I can pick up the kids.
Like, not the, that's, I know it sounds very patriarchal, like, oh, whatever, her silly jewelry line. But honestly, in this case, we know it's a silly Whitney jewelry line.
Okay. If you want to be assured that it's a silly jewelry line, listen to the instruction. I mean, listen to the description. I just pulled it up finally. According to the business's website, which they also have a link for, hold on, let me open that in the background. The line is passionate about inspiring others to do the healing work that it takes to find peace and alignment in their lives. And it also has products that are intentionally created for free-thinking, spiritual women who trust their intuition over everything. Prism your life. Join the Prism Collective and get 15% off your first order. And then you go to the website and it's Whitney with her head tilted, just being like,
why don't you get a hobby like bird watching?
I just imagine someone going to the website like, ooh, this is jewelry made for women who trust their intuition, who are independent and free thinking. Well, I'm not sure I trust my intuition. So I guess it's not for me. Like, of course, like, I just love it. It's like, who's going to say that they're not those things? Well, I love that
she's talking about how this is, like, women empowerment, and this is for free women only. But then you go to the website, and literally the only thing she's showing are chains. Like, big, giant chains. Also, listen to the copy on this website.
Spring, summer, 2023. Intentional jewelry for your spiritual ascension.
Intentional jewelry? The fuck does that even mean? Like, jewelry?
It's jewelry that's not also a house pet.
I like unintentional jewelry.
Like twisty like, ties.
Guess what? I bought this plate and I just, I made it into a necklace. It was unintended jewelry.
No, I don't want to test drive a Volkswagen. I want to wear it around my neck. Could you just put that around my neck? Thank you.
Excuse me, can this can of fancy feast be outfitted to be a
the
ring?
The next copy says, rituals for your ascension. When you heal yourself, you heal the world. Come on. Give me a fucking break with this.
You heal yourself, you heal the world.
You know what? There's a chat thing. I'm going to ask if I can speak with Whitney. So it's like, chat with us. Message us with any questions. We're happy to help. Okay. Hi, is Whitney there?
Is this an intentional chat?
Hi, is Whitney there? Oh, no, I have to fill out my first name, last name, and email address. Never mind.
Fill it out, please.
You have to fill your address? Well, God bless.
Okay, so back to this. So I guess she's very busy. She's intentional, guys. Okay? You know what you need to get intentional
about? She's making intentional jewelry.
Picking your goddamn kid up from school, okay? 50-50, that's what I say.
When you heal yourself, you heal the world. But I'm not sure that the world being healed means your kids can still get home from school. So let's heal some carpools. So Whitney's like, it's not just about, oh yeah, she just talks about not being home and everything. And she's like, our kids need us. I know that you need your career and I need mine. And Justin's like, so how does this work? Just kidding. You're going to pick him up. You're having someone else make you butterfly jewelry. So then
we go to Angie, who is at home with Electra and her husband. And by the way, just in case nobody knows, the style of this home is Greek. I'm Greek. I'm Greek, everybody. I am Greek.
Opa.
Let us play a game of slapjack.
That's what their doorbell says. How do you play slapjack?
And they're like, Mom, you keep putting cards and then you slap it. Which card do I slap? The jack.
Why are none of these Zeus?
By the end of this episode, we find out it's probably not the first time Angie's had to slap a jack.
This is also an attempt to pretend like there's some sort of warmth in this home. I'm not saying in the household, not saying that there's no warmth in the marriage or the family, but like this house is just stark white. It is like if you've ever questioned whether or not, or like if you've ever doubted when people say, a lot of these housewives just rent a house for shooting, and you said, no, that's not true. Look at Angie's house. It has not been lived in before. There's like one tiny picture on a wall and everything else is just stark, empty, cold white. And they're sitting here trying to play this game of slapjack. Like, this is a warm family home. This is like home and hearth is here. And we are full of love in this very happy house.
This isn't the same house that we saw last year that Jen used for her husband's birthday party, remember? And it was that big, gorgeous house. And then Angie's like, I paid for that entire party, and you didn't give me anything back from the party. You are fake. So also the husband, listen, whatever we say about the husband for the rest of the episode, not a bright person, okay? He's the one saying, well, all you have to do is slap a jack, honey. And then he slaps the Joker. Dun, dun, dun. So Angie's like, it's like, hey, Electra, this is like when you were little and I let you win. Do you remember that? And then when I didn't let you win and then you cried. It's like, you sound horrible. It's like some mommy dearest shit happening in this scene.
Do you have any memories of your daughter? Is this the best you could do? So Angie's like, Sean and I have been a team since the day we met. And we were together 24/7. We love our careers. We love traveling. We love going to Cher concerts, and we laughed and we had fun, and it was always just the two of us.
12 years ago, when Electra was born, there was something in life that was so much bigger than us. Our relationship changed, and now Electra gets all the love and attention.
And then we see the dad go to bed. What's his face? Goes to bed, and Angie gets in bed with her kid and just sits there and like brushes her hair and stares at her face. And she's like, you know, sometimes I am so focused on my daughter, I forget that I'm not only Greek, but a wife.
And Sean is sitting, he's in this enormous California King. Like, this is like two California Kings put together and like with a sail as their comforter over across it. It is huge. And he's just sitting there alone with like the dog. And he also, by the way, you can tell he's really self-conscious about his hair, because he keeps his baseball cap on until the very, very, very last moment that he can keep it on. He's like in his pajamas, in bed, with a baseball cap backwards, and then like very reluctantly he like
takes it off and puts it on the bed table. Right? You know? He's crawling into the bed like fully clothed. He's so uncomfortable. He? Oh. He's like, can the cameras get the fuck out of my room? My God. What's next? You're gonna follow me into the closet? So Angie's like, I know my husband feels neglected and he would love more intimacy. It's just that right now it's been hard for me to give that to him. And I know I don't know how to focus on Sean and Angie and not just Opa and Opa.
Are you still there? She just suddenly turns into a Bank of America website, because that's what she sounds like. Or she's like an ATM. Are you still there? Would you like another transaction? By the way, like, this is all fine. They're having intimacy problems, whatever. What I want to know, like, I want to see the side of Angie where she is a, like, a very intense horse mom. Because Electra has a wall of ribbons and, like, horse trophies. And you know Angie is like, you better get there and you have to compete in this equestrian event. And if you do not win Electra, you are not being fed for 3 days. Like, I want to see that.
You know what your father and I have sacrificed for you to ride horses, Electra?
I don't care if you have a broken rib. You are on that horse. You are bringing home the bacon.
Like, oh, Electra, you're doing so great. You are beating mommy at horses. Just kidding. Mommy beat you. Mommy's horse is bigger. Mommy's horse is stronger. And mommy's horse will always win.
Do you remember when you were in that equestrian event and you were 2 years older than all your competitors and you still lost? Do you remember how you cried that day and I laughed? Do you remember, Electra?
Oh, gosh.
Hey, everyone. We're going to pause this recap right here because it's going to be a two-parter. Thanks for listening and keep an eye out on your feed for part two coming up very shortly. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas,
she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or You can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.